Now, you had a chance to watch the debates, the presidential and the vice presidential debate. What's your brief analysis on that? And do you feel it in the end it changes voters' minds one way or another?
Well, you know, I was glad to see that apparently the ratings were pretty good, despite some competition from sports, you know, baseball and football and so on. So that's great. You know, I mean, on the one hand, you know, I like debates because you do get a chance to see the person on a human side. And yet, you know, there's more to a candidate than their sound bites. Mm-hmm. And I really, you know, of either party, if you don't have a chance to really appreciate their positions on issues, which I don't necessarily think you always get in debates. You know, you get their sense of demeanor and their swagger and their, you know, you get the personal stuff. But I think a vote should be more than whether a guy smiles well or can, you know, deliver a zinger. And so that having said that, you know, I think both candidates did pretty good. You know, and I think Mitt Romney did overall, I think, he accomplished more in terms of people tuning in to see what's this guy like,
sure,
than Obama, because the fact is Obama's been on your TV for 4 years. Romney really hasn't. Mm-hmm. In the last debate, you know, I think Romney really came across, you know, as just really kind of a civil, sensible, moderate guy that was, you know, likable. And not that Obama necessarily didn't, but I think for people like looking for who is this guy, and the fact is these debates are not for everybody. They're really aimed ostensibly at the so-called undecideds, and believe it or not, they are undecided voters. You know, people who don't really come to it with any party affiliation, and they just sort of don't know. And so, I mean, I think both did well. I think, you know, overall Romney did better personally, I think, on a performance level than Obama did.
Sure. Overall, on all the debates, you think?
Yeah, out of three.
Okay.
Yeah, out of three.
Because I know that debate, people thought Obama seemed a little bit sleepy. They blamed it on the altitude. And then in the town hall one, it seemed like Obama turned that around.
Right.
And then in the impression I got on the last one, the foreign policy, half thought Romney won, half thought Obama won. So it was kind of evenly split. So at the end of the day, it seemed like it was a draw across the board when you look at it that way, perhaps.
Yeah, it could be. No, it could be. And then the fact is, in any election, though, you know, the person in office, the incumbent, has the advantage always.
Sure, sure. Now, when you're talking about undecideds, whether, you know, at a local level or a national level, do you think we have more undecided voters these days than we did before? People who don't choose to affiliate with a party? What do you notice?
I don't know. you know, I mean, you have people that, a lot of people, the fact is, don't really pay attention to politics until they kind of have to. And I completely understand that. You know, they're oriented, though, more towards the philosophies of one party or another, just based on their upbringing or or whatever it is. So, but in terms of the volumes of undecideds, I mean, no, I think that clearly on the presidential level, you know, as we tape this, by the way, the Grand Rapids Press, for what it's worth, came out today, Wednesday, to endorse Mitt Romney for president. And the argument, their main argument, which I think is really the argument on most voters' minds, is their economic well-being. You know, how am I doing? And how, you know, versus 4 years ago, what's my economic outlook? And, you know, the fact is, it's the economy remains challenged. It's rough. A lot of people are in worse shape. And, I mean, fundamentally, you know, when you look at those polls, you know, are you better off and the unemployment, you know, there's really, you would think that Romney would win. And, in fact, you know, he may win. I think that it's going to be a close election.
Closer than people thought.
Well, closer than they thought maybe 6 months ago.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't have a clue who's going to win, but I think that whoever does win will win by maybe 2 percentage points of the popular vote. That's just sort of today my gut feel.
Sure.
You know, 2, 1, 2, or 3 percentage, you know. And we've been having close elections lately.
Oh, very.
You know, they never used to be close.
No, not this close.
The presidentials, you know, but in the last couple cycles, they've been close.
Yeah.
And I don't think this will be an exception. And, you know, and the fact is, though, you know, it just a lot of it comes down to a handful of these really important swing states. And, you know, apparently Michigan is not one of them, in that we see that only by dint of the candidates themselves are not spending time or money here.
Right. Yeah, I've noticed that.
Last time they did.
Absolutely.
But they're not.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because
sure.
It's fun and, you know, we get a chance to be more involved. You know, there'll be rallies, but we're not going to get that,
yeah.
It seems.
Sure. Now, earlier we were chatting, you came from the East Coast. In your eyes, how are politics handled differently here in the Midwest versus the East Coast and vice versa?
Well, you know, I've been away from the coast for a while now, again, 86. You know, the state, one of the things that always intrigued me about Michigan on a statewide political level was that it was a very very contested state, you know, kind of 50-50 Republican Democrat red blue, where it was competitive of, and I liked that, you know, you have that argument of ideas more active, whereas, for example, like in the state of Massachusetts, where I grew up, the Democratic Party has always ruled major statewide offices, I mean, forever,
mm-hmm.
with a few exceptions. And interestingly, I don't know if this is the case, but, I mean, for example, Mitt Romney, as a Republican, was
the governor.
Yeah.
You're right.
And that state, oddly, has this history. There have been others, Ed King, and a few others whose names are escaping me, Republican governors. It's almost as if voters sometimes there want to make sure that, you know, we have a little checks and balances. I mean, there's so many Democrats in the House and the Senate that maybe we should have somebody from the other side in the governor's office. And I don't know if they do that consciously, but I mean, the fact is the Northeast has been largely Democratic, but even that is changing, especially on the U.S. Senate side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the state offices. So there's definitely a shift. And I think it's shifting more Republican. But, you know, as the population shifts really make a difference. You know, cities are becoming more Democratic. But cities are gaining more people. I mean, some of the major Northeast cities are starting to, you know, New York's doing well with population.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they don't lose their clout, actually. It does shift a bit. But, you know, Michigan's always been a fun political state, and I think it always will be.
Sure. Now, when you got into covering politics and economic issues, what were some of the things that were real eye-openers to you that perhaps maybe changed your view on things? You thought this was one way and you found out it was completely different.
Well, that's a fascinating question. I mean, I guess one of the things is that, I mean, I still respect is really on the local political level, like township board, local school board, local city commission, is that a lot of it's really boring.
Okay.
I mean, really boring. But it's important. And that you appreciate that, you know, I've gained appreciation for someone that chooses to run for office because, especially on the small local level, because they're not doing it to get famous or rich. They really are not. You know, yes, some, a handful, but I don't think most, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, really want to be, feel important, and they need that office. But most do it because they just care, and they want to give back. And a lot of people don't appreciate how much time it takes in these subcommittee meetings and doing and reading things that they never get any media attention. That it's really a thankless job.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, the higher up you go, I wouldn't I can't understand the folks that would put themselves through that kind of scrutiny and criticism on such a daily basis because, you know, with social media and so many news channels, it's just they're just bombarded continuously.
You're even more under the microscope than ever.
Oh, I think so. I think so, too. I mean, you know, you can't go anywhere, any public event, with someone not having, you know, a cell phone camera or video that,
right.
You know, things can just happen
mm-hmm.
and go viral
sure.
and change immediately.
Mm-hmm. This is Paul Jędrzejczak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I've been joined by Peter Ross. He's the political and economic reporter and anchor from ZZM. Thank you so much for joining me, Peter.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you, Paul.